This meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is 8 a.m., or not 8 a.m., it is 8:02 a.m., Tuesday, March 26, 2024, in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Baker, Representative McCabe, Representative Mears, Representative Hemshute, Vice Chair McCabe, and myself, Representative McCormick. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Before I begin, I would also like to note we are joined by Representative Ruffridge. But also before I begin, I would like to thank Sophia Tenney, the committee secretary from Records, and Doug Bridges from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. Today we're going to be hearing a presentation on deaths in Alaska prisons from the ACLU Alaska chapter. We welcome Jacqueline F. Shepherd, prison project intake attorney at ACLU Alaska, and Dean Williams, former commissioner of the Alaska Department of Corrections. Also with us are Megan Edge and Mike Garvey, who I believe are here to provide comments as well. And I guess in the event that there are any questions we can't answer, they're also here to help out with that. Lastly, we'll be joined via Teams telephonically by Tom Abel, who is the grandfather of an individual who passed away in Lemon Creek Correctional Facility. So, without further ado, Vice Chair McCabe.
Thanks, Chair McCormick. Before we proceed with today's agenda, I want to address a matter of concern regarding the presentation and the invited testifiers for today's meeting. It's come to my attention that the individuals present here today are actively involved in wrongful death lawsuits against the state of Alaska. And while it's our job to deliberate on various topics, it's important to acknowledge that we are not a judicial body or court of law. The testimonies and presentations we are about to hear pertain directly to facts alleged in ongoing lawsuits. The 2015 report appears to be an exhibit to a complaint in the Cox Halliburton estate of James Ryder v. State of Alaska, which the ACLU is a party to. Mason's Rule 111 regarding reference to questions before the court clearly advises any matter awaiting adjudication in the court should not be debated or discussed in a legislative body. I think participating in any conversation about this subject might unintentionally make us witnesses to the ongoing legal proceedings. Given the legal implications surrounding this situation, I object to proceeding on this matter until the legal proceedings have been resolved.
Vice Chair McCabe, I appreciate you bringing this up with me before the meeting. I'm going to call brief at ease. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. I apologize for the delay there. I wanted to make sure that I was moving forward properly. I appreciate the remarks made by Representative McCabe. They are well taken, but we are going to proceed with this presentation as scheduled.
Except there's an objection.
Okay, so Vice Chair McCabe, do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Okay, so for everyone's awareness, before proceeding, we're going to have a vote now to see if we should proceed. If the vote is not successful, my ruling as chair is overruled, and the presentation will be effectively over. So, please call the roll, please. I apologize. Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. Just a quick question. There was some talk potentially of Ledge Legal being available to speak to prior to making our decision. Is that available or
so loose? Thank you, Representative Ruffridge. I spoke with them on the phone. I'm unsure if we can get them on the line. If you'd like that, I can try to facilitate that. Okay. Yeah. Is that what you'd like?
I just had some questions, but I'd like an informed decision.
Sure.
Before taking a vote. Mm-hmm. And certainly have some questions regarding this legal memo that Representative McCabe handed out.
Okay, brief at ease. Okay, we are back on the record. Joining us now from Village Legal is Megan Wallace. Representative Ruffridge, do you have any questions for Ms. Wallace?
I do. Thank you, Chair McCormick. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Wallace. I think my question was simply, I know there's obviously Mason's issues that we're discussing as a committee, and I'm not asking for your advice in that area. But in your memo, you had, written that in reference to a lawsuit that points to a Department of Corrections report from 2015. Is there any consideration for things that are already made public documents that are available to the general public, even though that they are listed as a exhibit in a lawsuit? Is that something that Masons really stays quiet on? Or since it's a public record document, is that something that is okay to discuss in your opinion?
Hi, this is Megan Wallace, for the record, from Legislative Legal Services. Representative Ruffridge, through the chair, the procedural restriction in Masons that you referenced gives guidance that the legislature should refrain debating or discussing something that's awaiting active adjudication before a judicial tribunal. And so the issue with respect to the report that you referenced, as you noted, it's a public document that's available to the public in other means. I don't portray to have a robust understanding or have done a robust review of the active and pending litigation, but the litigation appears to reference the report and use some of the findings or recommendations as basis for arguments against the Department of Corrections in terms of its potential policies or procedures, to the best of my understanding. And so the question for the committee would be then, is even though that document is publicly available, how much the committee wants to get into the points made in that report and its relation to the pending litigation? And that's the discretion of the legislature and the committee to decide how far it wants to get into those matters, if at all.
Follow-up, Representative
Ruffridge. Yeah, just a brief follow-up. Thank you. That helps a lot, Ms. Wallace. I appreciate you being online. I guess my question in a nutshell was, you know, the lawsuit, it's not the Department of Corrections report that's being sued against. You know, I was trying to differentiate between talking about a report that may be listed in 100 different places. Some of them may be lawsuits. But as long as we stray from hearing any sort of details regarding the specifics of a specific case, that it would be my interpretation that that would be appropriate since it's a publicly available document. I guess I was just looking for input on, is it the specific lawsuit of, you know, so-and-so v. so-and-so, that is the issue, or is it discussing anything that might be in the lawsuit?
Through the chair, Representative Ruffridge, the Mason's guidance tells us it's any matter awaiting adjudication. And so I think it just depends on what is actually being adjudicated in court, right? And so if you have a specific set of circumstances that are, you know, the subject of a lawsuit, obviously the main incident and, you know, those specific facts are kind of a bright line, easy delineation. It's a little bit blurrier when you are alleging that the practices of the state of Alaska may or may not be negligent or may have resulted in liability, and whether or not you want to get into whether the presentation will get into those practices or prior notice of policy issues that had been identified as those likely would also be subject of the lawsuit as it relates to a finding of liability. But as I mentioned before, that's really a line that the committee needs to walk in terms of ascertaining whether or not the presentation will get into those issues.
Follow-up, Representative Rufford.
No follow-up, just a comment. I think Ms. Wallace has been helpful for me to understand. I think the concern that I have is that the lawsuit in this legal memo that is referenced seeks, in addition to compensatory damages, a review of Department of Corrections, an audit of finances, and review of programming, medical screenings practices, suicide watch protocols, staffing practices, staffing shortages. I've looked through this presentation, and under proposed solutions, I think we discuss and are going to be asked to discuss a lot of these things, which are things that the lawsuit is seeking to correct in suit form. So I do think that there is concern with that language for me. If it was compensatory damages alone, then I think it would be fine to move forward. I'm concerned about this language. That's my two cents.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace. I'm curious, can anything that we say here during this presentation, any questions from us, from the people that are presenting, or from the testifiers, can any of that be used in the court of law to support one side or the other in this lawsuit?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, from a very basic level, the answer I think would have to be yes, because any testimony or evidence, not necessarily evidence, but any testimony or information that is shared will be part of an open public record that either party could assess. It would be up for a court to determine whether or not that anything discussed was relevant or admissible or could be part of the evidence used in the case. That would be for the court to decide. But because this is an open public forum, both sides will have access to the information shared today if there's a presentation.
Follow up.
So thanks, Ms. Wallace. So just to be clear, if we were to say something as a body in this committee and a trial attorney in this lawsuit, could he use it to say this is the opinion of the Alaska legislature one way or the other, say for those 8 points that Representative Ruffridge brought up? If we make some sort of comment in this committee, can that be used as the entire opinion of the entire legislature?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, in my opinion, it wouldn't be an accurate reflection to say that the legislature believes X, Y, and Z as you are sitting as a single committee and one body of the legislature. But overall, the risk of discussing matters that are pending active adjudication in court is really what the Mason's rule speaks to and why that warning is given.
Thank you.
Any further discussion or questions for Ms. Wallace before proceeding? Representative McKay.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. This is Representative McKay. Ms. Wallace, we have an example of where this actually happened recently, where an oil company, two oil companies engaged in a lawsuit on the North Slope over a road access issue. One of the companies interpreted the legislature's appropriation of funding for a road through ADA. One of the oil companies tried to assert that the legislature was sending a signal that roads on the slope have value. I don't need to get into the details, but there's a real life example recently last year where the legislature was, I guess you would say, in danger of being pulled into that lawsuit. Do you recall that, Ms. Wallace?
Through the chair, Representative McKay, no, I am not familiar with the specifics of that suit.
Well, it was where Santos tried to pull the legislature into the into that lawsuit between Santos and ConocoPhillips, to be more specific, and it was in the press, and there was a lot of discussion about it. So I was just bringing that up to illustrate that, yes, what we do in this building can be pulled into court. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any further questions for Ms. Wallace?
I'd like to call the previous question.
I'm going to call brief at ease. On the record, the question has been called. Would you please call the roll?
Representative McCain.
No.
Representative Baker.
No.
Representative Rutledge.
No.
Representative Hanchu.
Yes.
Representative Mia.
Yes.
Representative McCain.
No.
Chairman Cormack.
Yes. Thank you. Three yeas and four nays. The objection has been overruled. I'm going to call brief at ease so we know how to proceed. Brief at ease. I want to personally apologize to the ACLU for the proceeding this morning. I want to apologize for the individuals who called in. I want to apologize on behalf of the Alaska State Legislature for articulating and showing citizens of this state how incredibly difficult it is to eliminate the crisis that we're facing with deaths in our correctional systems. I failed you today as chair of this committee. I didn't expect my vice chair to do this, but you know, some stuff just happens sometimes that you don't expect in this line of work. So I want to apologize to the folks who came down here to testify, and I want to apologize that we're failing citizens of the state and allowing them to die in our custody. Time is 8:36 a.m. This meeting of the Community Regional Affairs is now adjourned.